Welcome back to the One Thing podcast, where we all get to usher in the new age of humanity beyond Homo sapiens, which we call Homo spiritus. And we do that by practicing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try en masse. And we can't wait until they do. And that one thing is the connection to the higher self part of our true self anatomy that people call by various names, different names. And our prime directive above all else is to make and constantly return to this one thing or taught connection day in and day out, breath in and breath out, as our first step in dealing with everything in our daily life, rather than viewing problems as things we can solve separately from taught. So in this episode, we're calling it this self-governance before government governance. And we are wanting to talk about how for a government to be in service to its people, we the people must be whole enough, sovereign enough, and connected enough with taught or the one thing so that we can ensure our government serves self-sovereignty and societal well-being. So in this episode, we'll unpack what self-governance before governmental governance means and ways we can use taught to uplevel our self-governance and our citizen effectiveness.
Yes, indeed. And so what we're going to start off with is an expanded definition of governance. So this is drawn from a basic definition, but we've built on it for the sake of this episode. So we're defining governance as the process of making and enforcing decisions within an organization, society, or an individual. It encompasses decision-making, rule-setting, and enforcement mechanisms to guide the functioning of an organization, a society, or an individual system. Effective governance is essential for maintaining order, achieving objectives, and addressing the needs of the community, including the community of self, not just members of an organization, but within us as individuals. Furthermore, effective governance promotes wholeness, trust, and transparency. Now, underline the word effective. We know that there's a lot that's dysfunctional about governance, but effective governance promotes wholeness, trust, and transparency, fosters collaboration among stakeholders or parts of ourselves, and adapts to changing circumstances, ensuring that the organization, society, or individual remains responsive and resilient in achieving its goals.
Amen.
Can I hear a hallelujah, sister?
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about why putting self-governance before government governance is absolutely vital. And there's two reasons as I see it. I'm sure David will chime in too. And one is that because governance is an outpicturing of the collective, the more individuals we have in our citizenry that are self-sovereign, self-governed, the more we will choose higher level government. We will vote those kinds of people in higher levels of government. So the kinds of governments that we've been noticing in the last several elections, it reflects our pool of consciousness. And so that should be a wake-up call right there, that our number one job is to bring ourselves into self-governance if we want there to be better leaders. And the second part is that, at least in the United States, the very first three words of our Constitution is "we the people." So we often forget that it is a government for the people and by the people. So it is those people, you and I, being self-governed at the highest level possible, connected to the one thing, that will actually cause and create the kind of government that David spoke about in before, just a minute ago, where I said amen. So that's those two pieces are absolutely vital, honestly. Mm-hmm.
And I think you've covered them well. The punctuation mark I want to put on part of what you said is that the candidates, not just the ones who are elected, reflect our consciousness.
Right.
So if you're aligned with a particular political party, and this is not a political episode, we're not talking about individuals in politics or any one political party. So this applies across political parties or non-affiliations. The candidates, not just the ones who are elected, reflect our consciousness. So if you're connected with a particular party, the candidates your party puts up for election represent the consciousness of that party as well.
Yes, excellent.
So the only way it's possible to be a successfully self-governed person is in harmony with and guided by the one thing. So the point that we want to make right now is that our consciousness in selecting candidates and then those who are ultimately elected is directly dependent on the kind of self-governance or lack of self-governance we're doing inside ourselves. And the less connected that the population of a community or a state or a province or a country or whatever the group is, the less connected that group is to the one thing, the lower the consciousness of their candidates and their elected officials is going to be.
Exactly. And how do we know this? Because we've been watching it for centuries. You know, this is just, we've said it before in other episodes where we tend to be complacent and okay with recycling the same energy and calling it different. It doesn't end up being that. And this is why it is really vital to have this connection with the one thing, because that's the energy, the consciousness, the higher wisdom and intelligence that will lead us out of the maze that the mind creates, which then causes to, you know, ours, that we cause ourselves to elect candidates that reflect exactly what that consciousness is. So just to repeat, the design of the government is to be in service of the people. Specifically here in the U.S., that is set up very specifically, and in a lot of other democratic societies as well. But there's no wiggle room in our Constitution here in the U.S. that is truly the case. So we the people must be whole enough and sovereign enough to, you know, stand up and steward our piece of citizenry as one of the we the people, and to participate in ways that are both serving to ourselves, you know, in that wholeness, and to the whole, to the collective. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how self-governed people, you know, tend to themselves and what's involved in self-governance. You know, we already gave, did we give the definition already?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's what you did. Okay. So I didn't hear the word definition, but it doesn't matter. So if we each just think of ourselves, we're a community of self, right? We have trillions of cells that have to get along, you know, for there to be a general overall wellness and wholeness. Now that, you know, sometimes goes off, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go all the way bad until we die. But we have a heart and we have a gut and we have a head and all of those things. It works best when there's an alignment between all of them. There's actually brain cells in our heart, there's brain cells in our gut, and then of course our brain or our head. When those line up, and especially not just by themselves, but when they especially line up with the one thing, which is our higher presence, which is constantly flowing into us through our head, through our brain, you know, through our heart and through all of our energy centers, right? So when there's alignment in all of that, then we tend to make better decisions, more serving decisions as an individual and, you know, for self and community. I've heard for, you know, my entire adult life that when a human being makes decisions connected to the one thing, they don't make bad decisions. The one thing would not guide us or drop wisdom or intelligence into us that wasn't, you know, good for ourselves and good for the whole. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
One thing about the one thing.
Yeah, the one thing about the one thing. Yeah. We could say that all night. You want to go on for the next one or you want me to do it?
No, keep going. It's okay.
Yeah. So we have cells in us that are older and are recycling themselves into being newer and younger. And that's happening all the time. I mean, we have 70 trillion cells, and they're always restoring, regenerating, and recycling. So I can't remember because there's different people who say different things, but I think Deepak Chopra says that every 7 years we have a completely new community of cells than we had, the prior 7 years. So we get to up-level those cells, anytime we want. And furthermore, in every single one of those 70 trillion cells, there are 70 trillion atoms, and each of those atoms has a blueprint for our wholeness. So it's not for us to wonder whether we can be whole. It's our job to actually unfold ourselves into that wholeness, right? And then when we do that, it affects our sovereignty and our capacity to choose from a level of that wholeness that isn't the same as when we're, not whole. Let's just put it
Yeah.
that way.
And I'll add a couple of things about that. Just to, first of all, drive home the point that we, each of us as individuals, are a country. We are a country with a lot of different regions and territories and all of it. And if we're not functioning as the sovereign of that country, as the president or the prime minister, or in the case of our internal country, I prefer to use the word sovereign in contrast to a republic that uses democracy as its elective structure, which is never supposed to be designed around a sovereign, even if it has a monarch. It's supposed to be designed around a constitution that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. So there, that's a distinction I want to make sure is clear. When we're talking about our self-governance, we're really talking about self-sovereignty. When we're talking about the governance of a group, we're talking not about sovereigns. We're talking about stewards of the collective well-being. The other thing that I want to add to this is specifically about younger and older parts of us. In addition to cell age, we all have, I mean, other than those of us who have become so unified that there's no longer a distinction between that we experience in us inside ourselves between a child part of us and a teenager part of us and a younger adult part of us and a sage in us or whatever it is. We have younger and older parts of self in addition to younger and older selves.
And usually the younger parts have we would some of those parts anyway feel wounded to us, and then there's other healthier parts. Maybe we've been consciously cultivating those healthier parts. Maybe they're just more natural to our country, the country that we are. But our job is to tend to the wounded parts and bring them into wholeness and health. I mean, that's actually the meaning of healing. And one of the things you use the word monarch, and one of the things I love about Chinese medicine is that the heart is considered the monarch of the entire system, and not from the perspective of, centuries past with Henry VIII and all of that. But I actually think that we still have monarchs, and we still have, people are obsessed or very interested in past royal experiences, because we know this about ourselves, whether it's conscious or unconscious, that our heart is our monarch, and that when we yield to the monarch, then things go well. And when we cultivate our own heart to be strong and compassionate and kind and connected to the heart of our higher self, then we can trust that monarch to serve. So, and so, why don't you say about the shadow one,
Oh,
honey?
sure.
Because that's kind of your bailiwick.
Sure. Well, just as I was talking about parts of ourselves, younger and older, we have parts of us that we're conscious, in conscious and helpful connection with. So parts of us that we know about and we have a conscious, useful relationship with. And there are parts of us that are in shadow, meaning that we're not as aware of them, or we've pushed them away, or we're denying them, or even unjustifiably justifying parts of us that aren't helpful. And those shadow parts of us, the leaden shadow parts of us, are running us despite our higher intentions. And let me just, because I said leaden shadow, let me just say what that means for those who aren't familiar. So if you think of the metaphor of alchemy, transforming lead into gold, transmuting lead into gold, lead is not the enemy. It's a raw substance that's meant to be transformed into something fully, fully helpful. So we have leaden shadow. We have parts of us that need to be grown up or need to be healed. And then we have parts of us that are referred to as golden shadow. And golden shadow is the parts of our light, the parts of our brilliance, the parts of our higher consciousness and heart and love that we learned a long time ago were too much for the people around us. So we learned to hide our light, not just the parts of us that we decided rightly or wrongly were negative. So
good. Yeah.
Shadow is really important, because if we're going to be in self-governance, part of that is bringing out into the light the underrepresented sections of our internal society.
That have good qualities to them, and amplifying them. And I'd like to just add one thing about the shadow, which is, if, and this, I'm, you're not going to want to hear, like to hear this, so just brace.
Okay, I'm bracing.
Not you, the listener. If anyone is pointing to a politician and raging about how that person is, and it's easy to do in today's times, then that is an indicator that there is some shadow parts in yourself that are looking to be integrated and aligned and, you know, brought to center or healed or, you know, brought out into the light, because we don't have the need, when we have our own sovereignty in a good way, and, you know, tended in a good way, we don't need to really lose it over various actions of various politicians. We can understand and see things, you know, from that broader scope that we've already been talking about, also considering that, you know, the stage of any government is a reflection of its citizens. So what we should take that as, when we really want to rage at a politician, is, oh, there's something here for me. I need to, you know, point the finger back into me and deal with that shadow piece in me.
Yeah. And I really want to underscore that, because what you're talking about is projection and triggeredness. Mm-hmm. So when I'm projecting onto someone else, when I'm seeing stuff in someone else, including elected officials or anyone else for that matter,
yes,
that really bugs me about them, the part about it really bugging me about them, meaning I'm triggered, I've got an emotional charge about what I'm seeing in them, that's the clue that I have some version of that that looks different enough from how I'm seeing that in the other person, that I'm trying to pull the wool over my eyes by saying, well, I'm not that way. Well, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Just not necessarily in that exact form. So there's a huge difference between recognizing something that's wrong in society or in government that needs to be changed, and having such an intention, an intense emotional charge that I'm furious and I'm wearing a face of innocence. It's all about them and none about me. That emotional charge is all about me, even when the thing that I've got the issue with may very well be also about the government or about a specific individual in government.
And it's, that's beautiful. And if you can make an observation about a political person or anyone for that matter without a charge, That's not the same thing.
It's not only not the same thing. My experience over and over again is that when people try to create change from that emotionally overcharged I said emotional already, the emotionally overcharged place in themselves where they're doing pure projection and no self-responsibility, no looking at what is this charge about for me. They may sound powerful, but they're just doing a blustery form of self-victimization. Problem-solving capacity is diminished when we're doing that kind of projection onto a government official or onto an entire government. Whereas when people are clear about what needs to be fixed, what's wrong, what needs to be repaired, and are intervening from a centered, connected with the one thing place, their potency is greatly enhanced.
Very good. Yes, excellent.
So it's a good segue over to how self-governed people deal with their government. So self-governed people elect officials who support self-sovereignty and societal well-being. Not one over the other. Self-governed people that were the kind of self-governance we're talking about in this episode, people who are in that state of top connected self-governance, elect officials and who support both our own individual self-sovereignty, each individual self-sovereignty, and societal well-being, not one over the other, because that's what true governance is in any society that aspires to be a free society. We seem to have forgotten that, even though in the United States, this is baked into our mission statement as a country, which isn't called a mission statement, it's called the preamble to the United States Constitution. Baked into it is the both and of personal freedom and the common good, self-sovereignty and societal well-being. So that's the first point on that. Do you want to add to that before I
No,
move?
I think that's perfect. It's beautiful.
Okay. So when based on that, when voting for anyone at any level in an elected official, from local to national, it is massively unwise to choose someone who doesn't care about societal well-being or someone who doesn't care about supporting self-sovereignty. Anyone who is insisting on one of those two things being more important than the other, or one being all important and the other being not important, that is a dangerous candidate, no matter which thing they're advocating over the other of those two dimensions.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, that often, more often than not, and I've heard it for my whole entire adult life, is people say, oh, well, I'm just voting for the least of the evils. And that we don't do that when we're connected to the one thing. So just please keep that in mind before any vote that you ever make from now forward. Go in your connected heart and ask for the best guidance that you have access to.
And to the extent that you can see beyond the image that a politician's handlers are trying to get that politician to represent, to the extent that you can see behind that to the human being themselves, look at whether that candidate lives themselves at the intersection of self-sovereignty and social responsibility.
And usually the eyes to see that with is in your connection to the one thing. So
Yes.
keep that in mind.
Because and we know that the folks that Lori and I are talking about right now are hard to find in governance, in politics. And that's starting to change with the younger generations, at least the more spiritually developed and psychologically developed in the younger generations who go into politics. So we want to make sure you understand we know that these folks are hard to find, but that's mainly because we haven't been insisting on them, and also because we haven't known the things we're talking about in this episode well enough in ourselves to look for these things in those who represent us.
Bingo. Well said. So we have some months before our next election. We didn't actually do this episode with any of that in mind. We just, it just, you know, these episodes drop in for us.
Well, we
and
should
now I'm
probably
thinking,
date stamp that then, because this is March of 2024. Go ahead.
Right. So we have, you know, a handful of months, 7 or 8 months before we actually have to vote in the U.S. And so there's plenty of time to cultivate. So I would like to, we both would like to invite you to regularly and maybe this will be sped up a little bit. Regularly could be monthly, it could be quarterly, but maybe it is monthly between now and the end of this year, 2024, and go through a process of making decisions about, you know, how aligned is your mind and your thinking with the higher, with your higher consciousness, with the one thing. How in line is your body? How in line is your spirit? And how in line is your life? And make, you know, just assess without judgment, and just figure out if you're cultivating your wholeness, however imperfect. I love saying that because I don't think anybody is perfect in a human experience, but we do have access to wholeness, no matter what, no matter how imperfect. And so making these adjustments accordingly, if this is new to you, start small. If it's not new to you, then, you know, pedal to the metal. If that feels like a good pace for you. But you want your system to be optimally operating, you know, in that alignment, mind, body, spirit, higher self. This is your state of the union. This is the state of the union of your mind, body, and spirit, you know, the state of your self address that you'll regularly visit, whether it's monthly or quarterly. So it's important to put some focus and awareness into that, so that in intention, so that you make adjustments as needed.
I totally agree. And in that same vein, as you're doing what Lori just said, to the extent that you can, dig into candidates you have some interest in, and to the extent that you're able to, evaluate them as a human being. Because, you know, we live our lives at the level of our wounds, not our wishes, and so do our elected officials. So to the extent that you can, evaluate them as a human being through all of the perspectives or lenses that we've described in this episode. So you may need to listen to this episode a number of times so you can really take on board what we've unpacked.
Yeah, perfect. And if you've been listening to any of these episodes for a while, then you're evolving yourself from Homo sapien to Homo spiritus. So when you're evaluating these elected possible, you know, those to elect, just see if you can find some of their spirit. You know, do they represent themselves at that level in addition to their talking points? You know, that's kind of important. And I would also say that it's probably impossible to really get a clear picture of any possible candidate when you're not in communion with the one thing. So that's the number one consideration, is get connected, practice being connected, practice watching news and listening to candidates while staying connected. Step away if you lose connection and come back when you're reconnected. Don't let the fact that you've been disconnected, you know, lure you into keeping to listen and getting, you know, maybe twisted up in your emotions about it, because we can all do that. So just know that your connection to the source of life, you know, to the one thing, whatever you call that, is your highest advisor.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So those are our takeaways that we're recommending that you consider bringing away from this episode. And as we've often said, before I go into closing comments, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, okay. I'm good. We're good.
Okay. So as is often the case, we're currently awaiting TOT guidance about what our next episode should be. And in the meantime, we enthusiastically invite you to visit totpodcast.net. That's TOT for the one thing, podcast.net. to let us know your comments, questions, requests for future episode topics, and any other feedback you might have. And until next time, remember to dance with your better half, the one thing, so you can keep living more and more fully as Homo Spiritus.